This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
It's all right here. Yes, we just we want to share the testimony of the Lord, you guys. And the Bible says that thanks be to God that causes us to triumph in all things. So I'm going to let my wife speak for a little bit.
Good morning, everybody. You know, it's just amazing that it seems like this morning's service has been about the love of God and freedom. And that was the key for our freedom. You know, when we tell you about our story, it's our story, it's our history, but it's not our destiny, right? And so those people that we're going to tell you about are not the people that stand here before you today. We are new creations in Christ. So let's just start, right? So again, as we tell you the story, just remember the victories coming. So we both grew up in very dysfunctional homes. There was abuse in both of our homes, not much love. Neither one of us heard the words I love you from our parents or family. Growing up, I was sexually abused in my home from the age of 6 to the age of 9. My home was a very religious home, so we went to church 3 to sometimes 7 times a week. But it was all about religion. It was all about what we should and shouldn't do. There was no relationship with Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So I grew up in this home, and as soon as I could, I ran. I ran from the Lord. I didn't want anything. The words that came out of my mouth were, I never want to pray again. I never want to look at a Bible again. I never want to step into a church again. I'm done. I had enough. My whole 18 years, that was enough. So I did just that, and I ran into the arms of every man that would have me. Is when I ended up together, and I ended up pregnant. So after 6 months, we moved in together, you know, we were so in love, and it was all about, you know, the googly eyes and all that good stuff. And then I had my son. Ismael didn't know how to be a daddy. I didn't know my mom. I didn't feel like she never showed me love, so all I could do was love this little boy with everything that I had, because I kept saying, I don't want to be like my mom. So I poured everything into this little boy, and I wanted us to be a great little family like I didn't have, right? So Ismael starts going out, and he, you know, 20 years old, he's not done. So he starts going out, and I was mad because I wanted him to be home, so we started fighting, and then he started hitting me. I went to my mom, and my mom said, you know what? I stayed with your daddy, even though he hit me for you, so you're going to stay for him. So I went back. The abuse continued. I thought, okay, maybe if I party with him, if I snort a little cocaine with him, he won't leave. So that's exactly what happened. We started snorting cocaine, you know, on the weekend once a month because we couldn't afford a whole lot. So a few years later, I'm pregnant again. We have a daughter. A few years later, I'm pregnant again. We have another daughter. And it seemed like the drug use was getting more frequent and more frequent. I was introduced to crack cocaine by him. Immediately, I was addicted. And there started the nightmare, is the only way that I can explain it. Something that you cannot put down, no matter how much you want to. The way that I can describe it is the day that I smoked my first rock, the enemy put a chain on both of my ankles and both of my wrists, and he was not going to let go. So there continued the abuse. Our children, we never lost our children. Our children, thank God, Nobody ever reported us. We were the kind of addicts that we woke up in the morning to go to work to make money to pay for the drugs. So we got home from work, gave them something to eat, and the drug, it was every day, 7 days a week. We would go to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning, wake up, take a cold shower to try to wake up, and go to work to make more money, to do drugs, to make more money, to do drugs, to make more money, to do drugs. This was our life. We dealt with this for so long. During that time, I started stealing at my job. I got caught. I got fired. But that wasn't the worst of it. They found out how much I stole. I had stole $25,000 worth of merchandise. So they called the police, put me on probation. You know, oh, thank God I only got probation because, you know, of course I'm in need. So we go to church because I needed something from God. And the Lord made a way. They wanted to give me 2 years in state jail, and instead they gave me probation. Thank God, thank God. Well, I only did that for about 3 months after I got on probation. And then we ended up back on drugs again. And so I ended up breaking my probation. I went to jail for 9 months, and it was there that the Lord found me, all alone with only him, and come to find out he was all I ever needed. There was nothing more that I needed but him. So as I sat there in my cell my first couple of weeks, I just knew I'm going to be going home soon. They're going to let me go. This isn't for real. So a month in, I called my husband one night, and he's not there. I call again the next day. He's not there. He's left the kids with my parents, and he decided to move on. He wasn't going to wait for me. So he found another girl. He moved in with her. And when I finally did talk to him, he told me that we were through. He said, I'm in love with her, and she's the woman that I want to be with for the rest of my life. You're no good. You've never been any good. I had cheated on him and more than once, and he knew that I was just going to continue in that path. And I went to the Bible. Somebody brought me a Bible, and I went to the Bible, and I opened it up. And I opened it up to 1 Peter 5. This is the first scripture that captivated my heart. And it said, the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And right there and then, I knew that that enemy, that devil, had been roaring around ever since I was a child, when I was abused. He had been roaring around trying to devour my life, because it wasn't just mine. It was his. It was my kids. It was my grandbabies. And right there and then, I decided that I didn't want that roaring lion attacking me or my family anymore. But I didn't know what to do. So this book here became my best friend. And I started seeking and searching. And what do you want to say to me now, God? And what do you want to say? And I'm reading stories about the three boys in the fiery furnace. And how did they go into the fiery furnace and not get burned? How? Because God was there with them. But how, God? How? I read about the woman with the issue of blood and how she was healed. And I'm questioning, God, can you heal me from this addiction that I can't break free from? I read about the woman with the alabaster jar and how her many sins, God says her many sins were forgiven. And I knew right then and there that my many sins could be forgiven, and they would be. It didn't matter what I had done. Nothing had mattered to God. Why? Because he loved me with an unending, unfailing love. There was nothing that he couldn't forgive, because he didn't create me to be that person. He created me to be a better person, his child. That's what he wants from every one of us, is that we just love him back. That's all. That's what God told me. He said, I died. I sent my son to die for you on that cross. Nobody bargained for me. He didn't say, well, how about if we just cut off Jesus' arm for her? No, he said, I give you my son to die on the cross so that blood could save me. could save everybody in here. There is nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard. In the end, I came to find out that everything that had happened, that I allowed to happen in my life, everything was because of my distorted view on love. This word, I was looking for a scripture this morning and I went to the back to the references and I looked up the word love. I didn't realize how many times in the scriptures the words unfailing love appear. Unfailing love. It doesn't fail ever. Unconditional love. Do you know what that is? If you have not experienced it, he's wanting to give that to you. Unconditional. That means it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. You know how you love your children? You love your children with an unconditional love. It doesn't matter what your child does. It doesn't matter if you have to ground them, if you have to spank them, if you have to, whatever you need to do, you still love those children. That's the kind of love. No, it's not even like that. It's greater than that. That's the love that the Father has for each and every one of us. Will you accept it today? That's the question. Are you ready to accept it? If you have not had change, if you have not had change in your life, you have to ask yourself, where am I looking? Where am I seeking for that love? Because he says to turn our eyes on him, right? So if you look for love there, if you look for love there, you'll find it. You'll find it. Because there is no greater love than the love the Father has for us.
Yes, we could speak for 2 hours here. We're trying to short it. So my life was, I grew up in Mexico. And, you know, we lived across from a catty corner from a bar called La Chiquita, the little one. And I was exposed to a lot of violence. I was exposed to murder at a young age. That traumatized me. I was exposed to a lot of things that sexuality and things that a kid my age, you know, shouldn't see. And like the enemy robs you of your innocence. And you know, he's now I know, you know, that we know that we have an enemy of our soul. And as I was growing up, we were exposed to those things and just a lot of stuff that a kid shouldn't see, and what happens is that there's gangs and there's drugs and there's alcohol and there's women and at a young age, you know, 11, 12, I'm smoking a cigarette and they just graduating from drinking to popping pills to harder drugs. And so I come to the States in 84. I was 15 years old and I was already doing drugs, smoking weed and drinking and doing all this stuff, and knew that gang life and everything. And so when I come here, it's like just, you know, it's I'm doing more. I'm going to school and I'm living in El Paso, so it's like in the Chuco, so I'm, you know, hanging around drugs and alcohol and gangs and just coming here and then continue to do that. And, you know, a few years, you know, I was in trouble with the law, you know, through those years. And at age 19, that's when we met on a blind date. And, you know, everything was cool and like she was saying. And then all of a sudden, we didn't date long. And my son was, you know, he came. She was pregnant. He was born. I was happy. It was awesome. But at the same time, I was sad because my dad, I had a father. I grew up with 7 brothers and 2 sisters. My oldest was gone, so it was just my younger sister and a bunch of brothers. And I was one of the youngest, so I get bullied around a lot by my brothers anyway. And so they were older, so they were gone. You know, a lot of them were married. You know, as I was growing, they were gone. They were leaving, and so I didn't really have a father figure. And my dad was a good man. He was a good man. He was a good dude, but he wasn't around. And so, you know, you grow up, the streets give you an identity. The gangs give you a name. They give you a nickname, and they give you an identity, and that's what you become. And so when I came and we got together, my son was born, but I didn't have a guidance. I didn't have a direction in life. I didn't know how to love. I didn't know how to, you know, my heart was hard already at a young age. So to me, love was sex. And so it's a distorted mind, a distorted view of what that is. So my soul is distorted, and my mind is not clear. And so that's what you think. You know, that's is the belief system that you have, that I had. A lot of us have that. And so I was happy that I had a son, but I was also sad because I didn't know how to be a father. That's a big responsibility. Marriage is a big thing. It's a big thing. Marriage is a big thing, Brother Rufus. You know that it's awesome. Marriage is awesome. But if we don't have the correct view, is we don't know. We don't know about marriage. And so what happened is that I didn't know how to be a dad. And I was in drugs. I was bound to drugs. And I was bound to lust and all these things. I was addicted to pornography. I was addicted to a lot of things. I had an addictive personality. And so through that, you know, I put my kids through a lot. I take full responsibility for what I've done. I've done a lot of crazy things. You know, the abuse that came, the things that I'm not ashamed to speak about these things. We go to prison with Rudy and Brenda, and I share this thing with men, because a lot of men, they've been through that. They've done that, and a lot of people are ashamed to share those things, because a lot of, it's like, I wasn't a man. I'm not a man. A man that does that is not a man. But the reason that he does it, because he don't know who he is. And so that man needs mercy too. Just like you receive mercy. Just like I receive mercy. And so I put my family through a lot of stuff. And my kids and my son. And there was animosity. There was resentment there as they were growing up between us and my girls. And just a lot of things that went on. Bullying in school, and they went through a lot of stuff. But me and my selfishness and self-centeredness, I continue to do what I did. It was just for me. I want to do drugs. I don't want to submit to the law. I was always in trouble with the law. I don't want to submit. I was jumping from job to job, getting fired, getting evicted. I'm not paying the rent today. I'm going to smoke it, or I'm going to shoot up, or whatever. It just graduated from smoking crack to being a hardcore addict. IV user, heroin was the last. It was just bad. It just got bad. It got being strung out, being sick. Whoever, if you know what that is, if you've done it, you know what that is. Being sick. And in this time, it was hard. And towards the end, when Mimi got locked up, and she was saying so many things that we went through. I got involved with somebody else, and like through the years, everything that I touched, I ruined. Everything I destroyed. I was a destroyer. You take on the image of the enemy, and that's what I was doing. Everything I went, everything I did, everything I was destroying, and I was ruining lives, and that's what I did with her. I ruined her life. I got her hooked on drugs and just destroyed her, and everything on my path, like a Tasmanian devil, rah, everywhere, and so I catch a case for attempted murder, and domestic violence, and I have all these charges and these felonies, and it's like I'm going to court, and I'm working, making good money, and I'm paying this lawyer, and fighting a case for a year and a half, and they're like, you're looking at 35 years in prison, man, and you know what? You still got to do 10 after the SLA. The judge is like, we have to sentence this guy already. And so we go to court, and he said, like, you know, just, you're going to, they have so many other cases and big cases in Sugar Land. And it's like, you know what, I just give this guy 7 years probation. He wants to sign it, or he wants to do the 10. And so they bring me the papers, I sign probation, I get out, I'm happy, and I continue to do drugs, and I continue in this mess. And all of a sudden, they're like, they're going to take you to the original case. You're going to have to go do 35, man, you're messing around. I was 35 times. They caught me 35 times in the UA. And so they sent me to a rehab. And in the rehab, it's not Christian-based. It's just a rehab by the state. And it's, I had to do 3 months. And I was strung out. I was so sick for 2 weeks. And then I finally come to my senses. And, man, I'm so tired of my life. I'm about to go do some time, serious time. And so they send me to the rehab. And when I get there, I share with the guys because all of a sudden, they give you the big book. The AA book, Narcotics Anonymous, AA, and all that. And so I'm reading the book, and then there comes this big brother, this black guy. He's fresh out of prison. He did five years, and he's a minister of reconciliation. And he comes in there, and he takes me under his wing. It was only 2-3 guys that would gather with him. And I was attracted to this guy, you know, the passion and the zeal and the love that he had. And he had a big old Bible. It was like a 1930s King James Bible. Big old letter. And he was just open. It was coming apart. And it was all, he would write on it. And this guy, he was on fire, man. And one of the things that would tell me, one of the first scriptures that I memorized said, the wages of sin is dead. If you continue in sin, my brother, your paycheck is dead. You're going to die. And he would tell me a lot of things, and the love of God compelled you. And another, the second one was, therefore, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And I memorized those two scriptures. And I was in the rehab, and I was reading the word, and I was reading the big book, and I didn't even care about the big book. I was reading the Bible. And then all of a sudden, one night, this is awesome because it's like I didn't go to a church. I wasn't part of a ministry. I didn't even know about those things. I'm reading the Bible, and then I'm reading about Jesus. I run into the scripture that saying that they were whipping him, and they pulled his beard, and they put a crown of thorns, and they took him, and they crucified him. And it was like, wow, he did that for me. And the Holy Spirit was revealing those things to me, and I didn't even know. And one night, it's amazing. This is amazing because there's a garden that we plant peppers and because we eat off the land. So we eat peppers and we eat tomatoes and all this stuff. And there's a little garden and there's some benches there. And it's at night and some guys go smoke. And everybody was watching TV, and I walk outside with my Bible. And all day, the scriptures in Luke 22, 23, 24. And I'm going outside and I'm weeping. I'm sitting. And then I have 3 guys come out and say, "You all right, man?" These guys, they're not even like in Bible study or anything. And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay. But I want to be alone." So they move to another bench and they're smoking. I'm sitting right here. And then the garden is right here. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit is holding me. It's getting a hold of my heart. And I start weeping. And I start repenting. I didn't even know what that is. But my heart was broken. I was overtaken by his love. And I didn't even know what I was doing, but I just knew that my filthiness, my sin, it was my problem, my sin, my sinful life. And it was being exposed, but I was being ambushed by his love. And I'm weeping and I'm repenting and I want a new life and I don't want to live. I'm tired of this, God. And I didn't even know how to pray. Later on, I realized that I was in a garden, like, with 3 friends, and like, that Jesus, wow. But it was awesome, the encounter of God. Come on, give it to him. He's awesome. He's holy. So as I'm reading this, the Bible, this guy, this brother Daryl, he's like, "Get in the book, man. Read the Gospels. Read the book of Psalms." So I'm reading the book of Psalms, and then I run into Proverbs. Ooh, wisdom. Wow. Now read chapter 4, and it says, check this out. It says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." And then he says, "In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head a garment, an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. But he says, in all you get understanding. And it's like a light bulb went. It's like, God, I'm so clueless in my life. I'm pointless. I'm senseless. I don't know anything. I don't know a lot of stuff. But I need that understanding. I want the wisdom. And then you run into James and it's like, oh, you give to me liberally. God, I want that. Give me the wisdom in faith, I believe. And he started giving me wisdom and reading the word. The scriptures and speaking life. And this brother was speaking life to me. And he was telling me things. And he's speaking life about my creative value and about who I am and how, why the Lord wants to restore my life. He said, you were born into Adam. And you must be born again. Because all those feelings and those emotions and all these things that come from you, they come from Adam. So you must be born again. You must be born again so you can live by the Spirit of God. You're doing the things that you do because you don't know who you are. And he knew my story. He said, I've done the same. And this guy was speaking life to me and destiny and purpose and reason. And this is why. And I'm reading the word and God is speaking to me. And all of a sudden she comes one day. Out of prison, she comes to the place, the rehab, and she's like, the Lord told me to forgive you, and if you can forgive me, we can get back together. And God said that he will restore this marriage. And I said, give me some time. Let me think about it. Yeah, I did. I didn't want to get back with her. And my son, he was like, no, you get back with her. I'm going to leave. I hate him. Remember, Ivan? You're a loser. Yes, I am. Not anymore, son. But you see, cheap. Talk is cheap. You got to walk it. I didn't say nothing. I said, you're right, son. I let you down. I love you, man. Forgive me. We went through a process of restoration in my home. And then when I finally got out, she picked me up. We went to the beach. And, you know, it was beautiful at noon. And the Lord was just wooing us with his love. And I started realizing that it was his relentless love. And he pursues you. The enemy is out there to steal, kill, destroy. But the Lord is. When you've been chosen, you've been elected. He loves everybody, but he's out there to pursue you. And when you start to understand some things, and see the Bible says that the Father draws you to the Son. And I started understanding those things. I started understanding that why I was redeemed and justified and all those words. What does this mean? And you start reading. And I love this book. It's awesome. It's life. He says that Jesus died for the forgiveness of my sins and for the remission of sin, for the removal. That I was worth something. Sister says something. Heaven went back for me because he saw something of worth in me. He died for me. Because he saw something of value. And that's what you are to God. When we're born into Adam, we distort it. We come with these feelings and these emotions and these things, even in life. But Jesus says, if the eye is the lamp of the body, if your eye is clear, your body is full of light. If I start seeing the perspective and the way that God sees things, even the life and the problems and these things that come our way, sickness and everything, and all the problems in life, Jesus says, be a good cheer. I have overcome. And when you start seeing those things the way God sees it, like, he said, just shine your light. All the things that we go through, we've been going through some things. I bet you didn't know. Why? Because we're not being overwhelmed by problems of life. Why? Because we shine in light. It's all about him. It's all about transformation. It's all about being born into him and being transformed.
Not to become need-driven and say, I go to church because I need God to bless me. No, it's about being changed and being transformed into the image of God, the image of His Son. It's about Jesus. It's a renewing of the mind, but we've been talking this thing. We've been singing these things today. It's about the renewing of the mind by the blood or by the word of God and the heart being changed, being renewed, gives you a new life, newness of life. He said, reckon yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Why? Because sin has no dominion over you anymore. The thing that we're going through is like, you know what? If I keep my eyes on Jesus and I fix my eyes on the Lord, He said that I'm more than a conqueror. It doesn't matter. And so she came, we left, and we connected with the church, and we started, we're in the room. We lived in the living room in my in-laws' mobile home. We lived in the living room, my whole family. I didn't have anything. I didn't work. God took everything. Where there's no pride, there's nothing. He took everything. And I don't have anything. Then I run into scripture in Isaiah 66. It says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where will I rest? And he says, but on him who has a poor and contrite spirit, I will look on him, and he who trembles at my word. And I'm reading the word of God. And I'm weeping, and I'm not even working. I don't even have a car. I don't even have tools. I don't have anything. But I'm trembling at His word, and I'm on my knees, and I'm praying, and I'm seeking God. And I just want more of Him. I don't even care about a job or anything. I have a fear of the Lord. It's a fear of the Lord that's like, I don't care about anything. I don't want to go back to the old ways. I don't want to go and do drugs. It's people, places, things they were teaching me over there. Separate yourself. And the Bible says, be set apart. Consecrate yourself. Sanctify yourself. And I was doing that. And I started growing. For 3.5 years, I was doing that at home. In the little mobile home. In the living room. On my face. And God started restoring this marriage. And I started understanding who is you running to scripture that says that He's the bridegroom. And we are the bride. I started understanding marriage and the distorted life, the sexual immorality, the fornication, all these things, the lust of the flesh. It's like, this is so distorted. This is the enemy. He's such a jerk. And when you start looking at life the way God sees, this is a spiritual thing. So I want to be raw. But this is, can I, Pastor? This is, we have freedom. There's freedom, there's healing, there's hope. But it's because when you see it from the spiritual side, the intimacy with the Lord, intimacy, is about, in a sexual relationship, it's in the outer court, going into the holy place, and the veil is torn and there's blood. And you go into the Holy of Holies and you become one with Him. It's a spiritual thing. And when you, and this is serious and this is sacred. And when you start looking at things like that, the way God sees things, you start looking at a woman in a different way. And I start realizing about my manhood. That I'm created for Him, by Him. Like Adam in the garden in the beginning. He didn't even know about those things. He was innocent. That's what Jesus says. Unless you become like a child, you by no means will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's that innocence and the purity. That's something that God requires. It's faith and purity, pure in your heart, pure in your mind. I want to talk to the men and the women too. It's just when you see a sister, ask God to see you. When you're out there by yourself, ask God to give you His eyes and to love the way that He loves, and to see women the way that He sees, and to start seeing your wife, to honor her, to love her, how He died. And I said, I must die for my bride. And everything starts to change, and your life starts to change. And it's His love that conquers all. It's His love that never fails. It's this love that never seeks its own. And as I'm talking to you here, I'm being healed in my heart. I had a heart attack in January. But it's the eye that is clear, even in healing, even in sickness. Like the three boys, I will not bow down to this king. I will not bow down to this thing, but I will bow down to you, Lord. It's not even about the fire, but it's about the fourth man, the one they adore. And you know what it does to me? It's not that he's king. And there's no fear in love. There's no fear. And as God is restoring our marriage and restoring our life and restoring everything, he's blessing us with grandbabies and my baby girl, my daughters, my son, my daughter-in-law. Such a blessing to us. And it's also just the blessings of God. When you become obedient and you let him renew your mind and renew your heart and be the man and the woman that God called you to be. And it gives you a spirit of Joshua that delivers you, and they just, you be a deliverer. I rescue you from this thing. Now you go rescue somebody for my kingdom, for my glory. That's what he does. It's awesome, man. It's awesome. His life, God is awesome. And that's the renewing of the mind. That every day he wakes us up and it's his mercy that says, I'm giving you another chance, another opportunity for you to be like my son. And the Holy Spirit walks in you. Is he seeing you? The mystery is being revealed. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's like, I want to live for you. Sometimes we got to change our prayers. It's just being thankful. Thank you, God, that you chose me. I'm accepted in that beloved. I'm justified. I've been forgiven by you, my God. You love me. I'm reconciled. You're awesome. Nothing matters. Nothing else matters, God. You're awesome. You are God. Give him glory. Come on.
Amen. If you would just stand with me today, I want to just speak just a second. What you might be here and you might be saying, well, goodness, I don't have that problem. I've never done that. What they just talked about, just plainly, they talked about sin. We can look and we can say, oh, wow, look at that sin. But see, sin is sin. And the Lord sees it all the same. And they spoke today how they were born. He used Adam. I was born of Adam. Adam was born completely free of sin. He was able to commune with God. But there was a time in his life where he fell. And the Lord said, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And you know, we looked, did Adam die? Physically, he didn't die, but he died. His spirit that communed with the Lord, that was on the inside of him, that had revelation, that had communication, it was gone. And every one of us have been born from our mother with a dead spirit. You have to hear this. We were born in sin. No, not your mom. But you were born in the sin nature. And until you receive what Jesus done, what he did on the cross over 2,000 years ago, you'll continue to live in that sin nature. But see, he came to set you free from sin. This church is about setting captives free. Jesus is the one that sets captives free, but he's given us the authority as his hands and feet to set captives free. It sounds like a prison ministry, doesn't it? We do have three different teams in prisons this morning. We are in prisons, but if you are not set free, if you're not born again, if you're not a child of the Lord, then you are captive to this sin nature. This continued, and you saw it continue to grow. Sin continues to grow. Romans 3:26 says, for the wages of sin, it's death. And maybe that's not a physical death, but it's death a lot of in our ways. It's death of a relationship. It's death of a marriage. It's death of a, come on. And ultimately, it will be death when you stand in front of the Lord and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. There shouldn't be one. There shouldn't be one human being that should go to hell. Because hell has already been taken over. It's already been taken for. Jesus came to destroy hell. He came to destroy Satan. He came to destroy sin. He came and he died on a cross. And you heard that. You've heard that your whole life. Many of us are wearing crosses. Many of us see the cross. But what is the cross in your life? Jesus came and he was bruised. He was full man. And he was bruised. You know why he was bruised? He was bruised because of my iniquity, because of my sin, because of the sin that they talked about. He came and took bruises because of my sin. He wasn't afraid to take those bruises. He knew that was his life. Jesus didn't want one thing. He didn't want God to turn his face from him. See, God couldn't see. There was a time on the cross where everything got dark. God turned from Christ, from Jesus, from his only son, begotten son, because the sin of man was put on him. And there was a great exchange. A great exchange happened. My sin was exchanged for his righteousness. Every sin I've ever committed, every wrong I've ever done, every wrong that's happened to me, it'll all be taken care of by you receiving the finished work of the cross and by you renewing your mind and by you every day working out your salvation, not working for salvation. It's a free gift to you today. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to buy it. You'll never be prepared for it. You'll never be ready for it. You'll never be good enough for it. You'll never be so clean to receive it. You must receive it by faith. Faith is something you can't see. Faith is something you can't feel, but it's something you hope for. It's something you believe for. It's something that is a miracle, and that's how you receive it. You receive it, and you say, this happened in this couple. This happened in that couple. This happened in someone else that I saw. That it can happen in me. And I don't see it. I don't feel it. My circumstances, my situations are all around me. But by faith, I'm going to walk up and I'm going to receive it today. Just want to speak to Ivan, to Rena and Roxy. I just want to share something that the Lord told me. You are gifts. Ivan, you needed to be created because of this testimony. God created you. He wove you in the mother's womb because he needed to have you here. And I just want you to, a lot of things have been said, but I want you to hear, you are a gift from God. And this is your testimony to walk through, to walk out, and to continue. And I know your heart beats the same way your dad said about your beautiful daughter. I see her. Goodness, she's pretty. If you need a babysitter, me and Camila are ready. Please let us have her one week. Your gift. And you're part of the healing process that's happening. November 11th, I want to speak into this family just quickly. Be ready. Because alignment is going to come to your whole family. There's some things that need to happen between that time. But get ready. You're going to see like a mighty move. It's going to definitely happen in your parents, but the Lord works in families. He called your dad. He called your mom now into ministry. You've been called into ministry. The sooner that you receive that, the sooner God can start using it. Thank you, God. There's an anointing here today. There's an anointing here today. I want to call up our prayer team. I just want the music just to be real soft for the next few minutes. We're going to have just a call here, a call of salvation, a call of coming back to the Lord, a call of believing by faith what's happened in this couple can happen in you. You'll see a lot of people. It doesn't really matter who you go to. If you feel more comfortable with one than the other, these people just are prepared to pray. After we have them pray for a few minutes, we're going to pray for healing today. I believe that everything we read in the Bible, if you've read anything in the New Testament, you've read a lot of stories about Jesus healing the sick. That wasn't old-timey. He's still healing today. And if you've come here today with sickness, I really believe, if you can believe, you're going to leave hell well today. You're going to leave whole today. Like everyone, just to bow your heads, close your eyes. If today your heart's beating, I know it's beating, but it's kind of beating a little bit too much, a little more. There's a reason why you're here today. Because Jesus has called you. He's called you before even time. There's been some things that have happened to you that's not fair. They should have never happened to you. But because of this nature that we live in, things happen. But Jesus has come to restore. And it all starts. It starts, Mel. It starts, sir, by you rendering your heart. For some of you men, it's going to be a real prideful thing to step out. But see, Jesus let all pride go. He was on the cross naked. People were looking at him. They were gambling at the bottom of the cross for his clothes. They were spitting on him. And you know the thing that's different between Jesus being humble, being a... Jesus at any point could have called 10,000 angels. He could have stopped it all. He had all of the power. When he raised his hands, everyone fell back. He had the power to stop it at any time, but he endured because he knew what was on the other side. Let me say, I have to say this. Yes, Jesus died on a cross. And if we stop there, we have no message. We have no message if we stop there. I'm here to tell you, and I want to continue to speak about Jesus and about his resurrection, because in 3 days, it was something that a little woman came to pray at the tomb. But guess what? The tomb was empty. There was no Jesus there. There was no one took him. No one stole him. All of those things are false. Jesus is alive. He was seen by over 500 people. People that saw him were transformed. All of them gave their life to him. Most of them died deaths of a cross, deaths a beating because they saw him, because they knew that he was alive. I've been healed. I've been set free. You cannot tell me that Jesus is not real, that he's not alive. You can debate with me scripture, but you can't debate with me what he's done in my life. He's real. I will stand. I will do anything for him because he's done it for me. If you're here today and you need salvation in your life, if today my mom preached from this pulpit, the middle of December, December 20th. My mom died December 27th. She preached from this pulpit December 20th, and she said these words. She says, one of us is next. One of us is next. Will you be ready if it's you? Will you be ready if your name is called? She happened to be next. And I knew, and I know that she was ready. Come on. If you don't know, if you're ready. See, there is a real heaven, and I'm going to preach until I die about heaven, because I've had visions and I've seen it. A place where there's no more tear, a place where there's no sin, a place where Jesus is the light and we are worshiping him. But I also have to preach because I'm responsible. I have to be responsible to the word. I have to preach that there's also a real hell. And the broad road is leading to hell. Many are on the broad road. Many people say rest in peace when people die. There's no peace in hell. There'll never be peace there. There's only one peace, and his name is Jesus. If we want to say rest in peace for you, you need to meet Jesus as your personal Savior. It all starts there. You heard it in this testimony. It started with rendering her heart. If you're here this morning and you need Jesus in your life, I just want you to raise your hand across the building. I know that you're here today. I see that hand, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that hand. I see that hand, Mel. Anyone else? Just I see your hand, sir. Come on, I love men. I love men. I see your hand, sir. Come on, Mel, I see your hand. Oh, come on, church. Let's give a hand clap. Because why? Because the heavens are rejoicing. Come on, sir. Just wait. Sir, why would you have pride in your life with one of the greatest decisions that you'll make? Why? Why is pride stopping you now? See, there'll be a day that pride will fall. No, I'm not here to argue with you. I'm here to see you saved. I'm here to be by your side. I'm here to disciple you. I'm here to bleed for you. I'm here. Don't let pride stand in the way of a little pastor asking you to raise your hand and to walk up. When Jesus had no pride, he let it fall down. Anyone else? Just quickly. I see your hand, sir. I see your hand, sir. I see your hand. I see your hand, sir. I see your hand, Melm. I see your hand. I see your hand, buddy. I see it. I see it, sir. I see it. I see it. There's a man in the back that's had his hand up the whole time. He's not letting it down. Why? Because it's time. It's time. It's time. God is calling people at this hour. It's time. Today's the day of salvation, the Word of God says. Today's the day of fully allowing yourself to be submitted to the King of Kings. Don't miss out. Don't miss out. Many times, don't miss out. I'm going to ask you, if you raise your hand, just to quickly to come. One of these is going to pray, and I want you guys to just pray quickly. We're going to have a lot of people. Just quickly move out of that chair and come. We're going to worship the Lord. Can we just give these guys a hand clap as they come? Come on. Come on. Can we just come? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on. Can we rejoice in him today? Can we rejoice? Can we rejoice?
God, I look to you. You're where my help comes
from. Come on. Come on.
Give me wisdom.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Father.
And I will.
Yes, God. Nico, you come right here with this young man. Yes, God. Just be with Carissa right there. Yes. Yes.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.